You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, the home for podcast discussion of Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. As we chat this Monday evening, the NBA Finals are going about as most of us suspected. Warriors up 2-0 over LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, as many of us suspected last Monday when it was Game 7 between the Warriors and Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. That was truly the NBA Finals because both teams just simply in a different class than the Cleveland Cavaliers, who outside of LeBron James just have nowhere near enough to compete with the Golden State Warriors, and now they effectively have to beat the Warriors 4 times out of 5 with the Warriors up 2-0. So in reality, it's over. The Warriors are going to win their third title in the last 4 years, as many of us expected. And from there, we go into the summer of LeBron James, because LeBron can become a free agent. And one of the top destinations for him, not as a true free agent signing, but as an opt-in to the final year of his existing contract and trade, like Chris Paul last year, one of the top teams on LeBron's hypothetical list is likely the Houston Rockets. And so we've explored that angle in recent days. We also discussed Paul George, who in Oklahoma City has a similar decision to make. He also has a player option for the final year of his contract, which he could facilitate to get a trade to Houston or wherever he wants to go, much the same way that Chris Paul did last year. So the last two shows, we have explored those possibilities. When you're competing with the Warriors, you have to think big. You know Daryl Morey is big game hunting every year, especially now with the Rockets having won 65 games and beaten the Warriors 3 times in a 7-game series and pushed them to the brink in a way that no one else has even come close to since adding Kevin Durant. The Rockets are a destination, and you know good and well that GM Daryl Morey intends on capitalizing on their current status as a destination franchise. So we've looked at the big names in recent days, and if you want more talk on that, just check out our archives here at Lockdown Rockets for more LeBron James, Paul George discussion. I'm going to actually go a tier lower today, because one of the most popular questions I get in radio interviews, on Twitter, is what happens if they don't get LeBron or Paul George? Are there lower targets that can make the Rockets a better basketball team next year? And the answer is yes, but it's a little more complicated than you might think, and I would also argue that it's a lower tier in terms of the pool of free agents you would probably be going through, partially because, of course, the Rockets are not expected to be an under-the-cap team. If you're going to keep the current team in place, which we heard from Daryl Morey last week is the plan, then Clint Capela, Chris Paul, they're both due big raises. Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, Gerald Green, they're all entering free agency. So if you're going to keep most of those guys, especially the high-end types, Capela, Chris Paul, to a lesser extent Ariza, then you're going to be nowhere near cap room. So you're going to be looking at the mid-level exception either way, and the mid-level exception this year is going to be a little less than it was last year in all likelihood. That's how the Rockets got P.J. Tucker on July 1st of last year. They used what's called the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about $9 million a year, and they were able to land P.J. Tucker and use that higher version of the MLE because the Rockets were not going to be a tax team last year. With Clint Capela on the final year of his rookie contract and Chris Paul opting into the final year of his existing contract, it was easy for the Rockets to keep the payroll in check, which allowed them to use the higher exception. This year, if you're going to be a luxury tax team, and by all accounts, that's what it's going to take to keep this team together, then you're not going to have access to that non-taxpayer exception. You're going to have access to what's called the taxpayer MLE, which is closer to $5 million, actually about $5.3 million, the starting salary per year. So that in and of itself puts you in a slightly lower bracket of free agents than you were a year ago. Maybe that's somewhat offset by just how good the Rockets looked after winning 65 games and pushing the Warriors to the brink. You can hope for that. We'll see how it plays out in July. But the other reason that when people ask me who other than LeBron James or Paul George might they go after, besides just the finances of being an above-the-cap team and not having access to the higher MLE, the other reason that I'm skeptical, and by the way, being skeptical is fine because this team, with just better luck and better health in regards to the shooting, Chris Paul, could have and probably should have beaten the Warriors this year. The reason I'm skeptical on major additions is because the trade market isn't that friendly to the Rockets either. And that's where I want to start off, is with a look at assets. We'll talk about the MLE in a later segment, and we'll also turn our attention to Ryan Anderson, everyone's favorite whipping boy, with that $20 million a year contract for two more years. But I want to start with just an overall look at the Rockets' assets. Because in theory, is Daryl Morey always scanning the trade market for ways to improve the team? Yes. But it's going to be a lot harder to do this year. Last year, in terms of what the Rockets could do entering June, and some of these were used in the trade for Chris Paul, yes, you had Eric Gordon, who you still have, but you also had Pat Beverly, you had Lou Williams, you had Sam Decker, who was a first-round pick a couple of years prior. You had lots of, I would say, at least moderately positive pieces from the standpoint of assets and building a trade that could appeal to other teams, and obviously did with regards to the Clippers. And it should be pointed out that those guys, not only are they moderately positive assets, but they were also salaries that you could use so that the Rockets, even as an above-the-cap team, could bring in quality players, and ultimately that ended up being Chris Paul. Right now, the Rockets are not in nearly as good of a place from a depth perspective of assets to trade. There's Eric Gordon, who certainly is a positive asset, making about $13 million per season the next 2 years. But aside from Eric Gordon, the pieces the Rockets have to offer are not very desirable. Ryan Anderson, we've been through it a million times. At $20 million a year for a guy who struggled to even get on the floor in the playoffs, that's a net negative contract. And whatever value your future draft picks have in terms of 2018, 2020, or 2019, 2021 first rounders, I should say, first off, those are limited to begin with because you're probably picking at the end of the first round with a team with James Harden and Chris Paul in their primes. But beyond that, you're probably holding on to those future draft picks in case you need to dump Ryan Anderson in another trade, potentially as part of a three-way for LeBron, to make the math work. More on that later. But as far as making trades for guys who are not LeBron James or not Paul George, Ryan Anderson, not a positive asset, and your future first-round picks may be somewhat tied up in case you need to offload Ryan at a later date, either for another trade or simply because Tillman Fertitta doesn't want to pay the luxury tax on what it would cost in terms of Ryan Anderson's salary plus the tax expenses with the Rockets as a tax team. You look up and down the roster, Nene, $3.5 million. It's a low enough salary that it's not like he's a big negative, but no one's in the market for a 35-year-old backup center. P.J. Tucker, as mentioned earlier, well, first, he's the heart and soul of the Rockets. I don't think either James or Chris has any interest in letting P.J. go. But even if the Rockets were willing, I'm not sure a 32, 33-year-old P.J. Tucker is all that valuable around the league because his offensive limitations, as great as he is in Houston, it works in Houston because you do have James Harden and Chris Paul, and P.J. is the quintessential guy that's just much more valuable on a contender than he is on, say, a run-of-the-mill team. If you trade him to, what, the Charlotte Hornets, pick your generic close to 500 team in either conference, I'm not sure PJ in his low 30s has anywhere near the same value. He's not a negative contract by any means, but he's just not really going to move the needle for you. And aside from Tucker, Nene, Ryan Anderson, there's not a whole lot because the Rockets, as mentioned, a lot of their existing core, they're free agents. And even if theoretically you could or were willing to trade guys like a Trevor Ariza, even a Clint Capela, it's pretty difficult to do because since they're entering free agency, they have control over their situations. You can't just trade them because you see an upgrade, because they can pick their destination. And by the way, there's probably a lot of teams. Let's continue with the Charlotte hypothetical. A 33-year-old Trevor Ariza is probably not going to want to play out his whatever his remaining prime years are in Charlotte. So the Rockets don't have a ton of options. The good news is they do have one option, and it's a really good one, and that's Eric Gordon. He is a positive asset. He's not even 30 years old. The contract is good, so he can be a foundation piece. We've mentioned him as far as being one of the, or really the foundation piece in your opt-in and trade proposals for LeBron James and Paul George. And in theory, you could use him elsewhere as well. He's a good basketball player. And the age, the contract, they're all friendly. And you can easily see him being the foundation piece for a major deal. It also helps that his salary, while still friendly, is enough at $13 million to make the math work for higher profile acquisitions. For example, you can get Paul George with just Eric Gordon and Nene. You don't even have to worry about finding a taker for Ryan Anderson, as we broke down last week. It's not like with the Chris Paul trade where the Rockets had to combine salaries, Pat Beverly, Lou Williams, and all these other contracts, many non-guaranteed that they collected around the league just to make the math work. So Eric Gordon has a lot of positives. The difficulty in terms of trades with Eric Gordon is that he's such a valuable basketball player to you already that it really takes a LeBron James, a Paul George type for it to be worthwhile. Because not only is Eric Gordon a really good player in his own right, the reigning sixth man of the year, can be a very good shooter, dynamic off the bench, all those types of things. He also provides you valuable insurance on Chris Paul. And we saw in the Western Conference Finals that even after Paul went out with just a little bit better luck in regards to the shooting and the officiating, the Rockets still could have won that series somehow against the vaunted Warriors. And in large part, that's because of how capable Eric Gordon is of stepping in for Chris Paul. We also saw him do it for James Harden when he had the hamstring injury in January and filling the void, not just from a shooting perspective, but also playmaking. And again, he's not even 30, and this is a backcourt in Houston that is pretty thin. You have Paul, Harden, Gordon, and not a whole lot else. So the good news is that you do have positive assets. The bad news, and I don't necessarily think it's bad, but in terms of the likelihood of a trade, it's tough to get an upgrade over Eric Gordon, especially for this particular Rockets team and how the roster is constructed. So in regards to potential trades this offseason, the way I look at it is I consider it the Eric Gordon test. Is the player that you're going after clearly better for the Rockets than Eric Gordon is? If he's not, it's probably not going to happen because the other assets the Rockets have financially or in terms of future draft pick compensations, again, the first rounders, even if they were willing to trade them and not hold out for Ryan, they're going to be late. The prospects they have, Joe Chi, Isaiah Hartenstein, Shinano Anuaku, they're interesting flyer candidates, but look, these are second rounders who have not played in the NBA. They're not going to have a whole heck of a lot of value. The bottom line is, if you're going to make a marquee trade and you're the Rockets, it's going to have to involve Eric Gordon. He is the one positive asset. And so in theory, could you get good return for him at 29 years old on a friendly contract? Yes, you could. The downside is that because he is so valuable to your team already, it's tough to see that many scenarios where the Rockets would be willing to trade him. He's also a great fit in the locker room. He knows the system like a glove. He's comfortable with his teammates, comfortable with Mike D'Antoni, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I actually think the Rockets are more likely to make an A-list move than they are a B-list move. And by A-list, I mean the LeBron James, a Paul George type. Because you can make those deals work with Eric Gordon, and the Rockets would be willing to move Eric Gordon in those deals. Is there a tier lower in terms of B-list guys if they don't get LeBron or Paul George that they could go after? Yes, but in my opinion, I don't see it as likely because in my opinion, Eric Gordon is the better fit for the Rockets' current roster. And if you're not willing to move Eric Gordon, then there's not really a deal to be had. It has to work for both sides. So that's why I discuss LeBron James and Paul George as much as I do, because I don't really see the next tier, what I would consider the B-list, to be all that realistic. Because if you're going to go with a B-list type guy, the Rockets are probably comfortable just sticking with Eric Gordon, who again is not even 30 years old and is quite comfortable in his role on this current team. Now, that's not to say that there's no upgrades to be had. Just because I don't think the Rockets are in play for B-list types. For example, J.J. Redick, who we know the Rockets were linked to last offseason. He'll be a free agent again after signing that one-year, $20-plus million deal in Philadelphia. Last year, the Rockets were also in play for Andre Iguodala. He won't be a free agent. But the point is, the guys they were after last summer with that higher mid-level exception, I don't expect the Rockets to be after this summer because A, they won't have that higher mid-level exception, and B, I don't really see them as a player either directly on the trade market or in a sign-and-trade. I just don't see them having the assets unless they involve Eric Gordon, and I just don't see the Rockets being willing to move Eric Gordon for a player in that J.J. Redick, Andre Iguodala tier. I just don't see that making sense for them this year. Now, that's not to say that they won't make any upgrades, but I think you're probably looking at what I would consider the C-list rather than the B-list. Guys that would conceivably play for that mid-level exception, that lower one, the taxpayer, because as mentioned earlier, the Rockets, to keep this team together, which is the plan to give the big raises that are due to Clint Capela and Chris Paul, you're going to be in tax territory, And if you give the non-taxpayer MLE, then that gives you a hard cap, and that's probably not going to work. The way to avoid the hard cap and allow you to pay luxuries, keep a team together, is to have the lower MLE. The big question is, will the Rockets have that available? And what this comes down to is Luke Bamute. Because of your big free agents, I'm not really counting Gerald Green in big free agents because he was a minimum player. At this point in his career, he's probably going to be a minimum player next year, whether it's with the Rockets or somewhere else. Not a ton of teams have cap room this summer, and Gerald Green's not going to be at the forefront of the list. Fair or unfair, that's just the way it is for his demographic. Luke Bamute is a more interesting story because he signed for the minimum last year, which might help him to take an under-the-radar deal this year, or under below market, I should say, or below what his market should be. Because for whatever reason, his skill set in terms of the defensive value he brings you appears to be somewhat overvalued, or undervalued, I should say. God, sorry about that. On the market these days. So maybe you get lucky again, especially his market could be driven down after two shoulder dislocations, and as a result of that, not playing nearly to his potential on the biggest stage in the playoffs. He's also 31 years old, will be 32 next year. So maybe those factors converge and the Rockets get a sweetheart deal from Luke. We'll have to wait and see. But because they signed Luke for the minimum last year, it's not like Capella, Chris Paul, or Ariza, where they have his bird rights and can go over the cap to sign him to whatever it takes to keep him. They can only offer him, effectively, it's called the non-bird tender, since they don't have his bird rights, which is about 120% of the veteran's minimum salary, which, as I understand from my good friend David Wiener, Beam a Thug on Twitter, he writes over at Clutch Fans, would be about $2.8 million next year. And if you can get him to take that, great. Because Luke, despite the playoff struggles, his defense was a big part of what you did in the regular season. And if you want to get back to where you were this year in terms of having the Game 7 at home, which almost pushed the Rockets through, despite all the crazy circumstances that went against them, the Chris Paul injury, the shooting, the officials, all those types of things. If you want that Game 7 at home again, which means probably needing to win 65 or 70 games to outpace the Warriors over 82 games, then Luke Bamute's defense was a big part of it. And if he won't sign for the bird tender, then or the non-bird tender, then you might have to give up your MLE to keep him. But what I think the Rockets are hoping is that that's not necessary, that you can get him at a discount again. Not as much of a discount as last year, not the minimum, but just not the MLE. And then because of that, then your MLE can be used for other things. You can, of course, go after free agents, I would say the C-list. I don't think the J.J. Redick tier is fair, but you know, if you want another guard, we saw that the Rockets during the year, they did try and bring in an accomplished fourth guard in case there was an injury. We know they went after Jameer Nelson. Unfortunately, it takes two to tango, and few veterans or proven guys were willing to sign for both the minimum, meaning they're not going to make a whole heck of a lot of money, and a role that when everyone is healthy, Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon are going to have all 96 of those backcourt minutes spoken for. Well, if the Rockets have the $5.3 million taxpayer MLE, then it's a little different. Even if they can't guarantee minutes, at least they can guarantee money. And you can go after, well, Jameer Nelson is a free agent. That's one guy, you know, as previously mentioned, we know they were after during the regular season. But if you want to go younger, you can go after Seth Curry. Yes, Steph's brother, consistently an above 40% shooter. If you want more wing depth in terms of the forward spots, you could look at Jeremy Grant coming off a strong year at Oklahoma City. You can look at Anthony Tolliver. I should have mentioned when we're talking about guards, mentioned Jameer Nelson, Seth Curry. You could even look at making a run at Sergio Yul, the Spanish guard who the Rockets still hold the rights to after all this time. You could even look to upgrade your backup center spot. Brandon Wright, when the Rockets got him on the buyout market in February, didn't work out because of health issues with his knee, but if that knee checks out, he still makes a lot of sense on paper the same way he did in February. Now he's got some familiarity with your system and your style. So those are all options, and when you use that $5.3 million MLE, you don't have to use it all on one person. It can be a combination. You can get a couple of guys in there, or you can get most of it to one, as they did with P.J. Tucker, and then save a little bit of money to sign a second-round draft pick. The Rockets have a pick in the 40s this year, and you can get them on a team-friendly deal, especially if you like what you see from them in summer league. Not saying they're going to get the next Chandler Parsons, but maybe somebody falls through the cracks, and if you like what you see, then you can use part of your MLE to keep that player around. So the point is that you do have options. It's a lower tier than you might want, but all of these guys can fit potential holes, be it in terms of wing depth, that fourth guard, another backup center that's more athletic than a 35, soon to be 36-year-old Nene. All those things are possibilities, but it depends on having the MLE and not having to use it on Luke Bamute. So in terms of options the Rockets could go after outside the stars in free agency, are they out there? Yes, they are. But A, it's probably going to be a lower tier than you might want. And B, the biggest key to getting those guys is to convince Luke Bamute to take that non-bird tender of about $2.8 million. Because I think the Rockets realize just how valuable Luke is to them, and they want to keep him. And if push comes to shove, I think they might give, if not all, at least a larger part of the MLE. I think they realize how valuable Luke was to them over 82 games. Hopefully they don't have to do that, because if they don't, then that makes it all the easier to, well, you can keep what Luke gave you in terms of his defensive impact and also shore up one or more of those other depth spots. Again, I don't think it's going to be the J.J. Redick tier. You're going to have to go probably down to the C list, but you can get some guys that can fit and be better depth pieces than you had in the Western Conference Finals, when it was pretty clear that Mike D'Antoni did not trust what was on his bench after about the seventh or eighth man, and that was even when the Rockets were fully healthy. Now, to close out the show, I want to discuss the real elephant in the room, and I touched on this earlier, and that's the Ryan Anderson contract. And folks, I get it. It's not friendly. It's a negative asset. But what I would strongly urge you to consider in all these scenarios, make sure that you have a plan for what you can do with his money if you free it. For example, if finding a third team to take his salary can get you LeBron James or Paul George, you do it in a heartbeat. That's an easy decision. But if you're not getting LeBron James or Paul George, and that's kind of what this podcast is about, you don't necessarily move him just to move him. Because even if the Rockets could dump him today somehow, if the amnesty clause reappeared, it still would not give you any more resources this summer to improve your team, because the Rockets are going to be over the cap regardless. So yes, Ryan is a negative contract, but you shouldn't give up the assets it would take to move him, i.e. multiple first-round draft picks, unless you're clearly getting something that is to your basketball benefit. Now, maybe Tillman Fertitta steps in and says, I'm not willing to pay the luxury tax on a guy who's not going to play. And if he does, I can't blame him. It's not my money. Tillman bought the Rockets. He can do whatever he wants. But if you're a Rockets fan, you shouldn't cheerlead that scenario, in my opinion, where the only beneficiary is Tillman Fertitta's bottom line. If you're interested in the basketball team, as most of us are, you need to be able to get some sort of benefit if you are moving Ryan Anderson. And again, if you're not getting LeBron James or Paul George, then I don't really see that it helps you much at all. And it's not like his roster spot is that much valuable. It's not like you're going to be able to bring in someone for the minimum that is going to give you a lot more than Ryan Anderson. He's a disappointment in the context of his contract. It's not like he's just an awful player that's useless. I've even seen some talk on Twitter since the season ended of waiving and stretching him, which I think is almost certainly a terrible idea. By waiving and stretching, what it means is if you were to cut him this summer, you could spread his cap hit over 5 seasons, basically turning what now is a 2-year contract at $20 million a year into a 5-year contract at a little over $8 million a year. The reason this is a bad idea, financially, what is most stringent on NBA owners is what's called the repeater tax. It's not just the luxury tax. It's when you go into the tax 3 times in 4 years and are then subject to an additional 100% penalty on top of the regular tax brackets. That's not going to kick in for the Rockets until at least 2021, since they were able to avoid going over the tax this year. If you spread out Ryan Anderson's contract over 5 years, you're going to have dead money on the books, over $8 million of it, in years that you're potentially subject to the repeater tax, and it may be unavoidable, considering that James Harden by 2021 will be making over $40 million a year, and there's a good chance that Chris Paul will be as well. And Clint Capella could easily be making over $25 million a year, maybe even close to $30. It's going to be a very expensive team. And as bad as the luxury tax is, the repeater tax is a lot worse. So I don't see the Rockets, again, even if you could reduce his cap hit altogether, or trim it from $20 million to $8 million, it's still not going to help you this summer, assuming you're an above the cap team, which from all indications is the plan. And it can actually, in the 3 to 5 year range, it can actually have some extremely negative consequences in that you're spreading his dollars over years that you could be a repeater tax team, as opposed to just essentially the first year in the tax, which the Rockets will be this year in all likelihood. I would also point out that there is going to be a time in which Ryan Anderson could be a pseudo-positive asset. It could be as early as July 2019, at the latest, I think, by the trade deadline in the 2019-2020 season. But at some point, that $20 million salary is going to be seen as a ticket to cap space. And the Rockets, with Chris Paul and James Harden signed in their prime, may be able to acquire a veteran from a mediocre to bad team who simply doesn't fit, and the team just wants to move on, rebuild, and reap the benefits of cap space. It's not going to happen this year because there's still 2 years left in the contract, but at some point, maybe as early as next summer, and if not next summer, certainly by the trade deadline, when the Rockets will have already paid out in terms of cash value over half of the contract, there's going to be a point where that contract is an asset for you because bad teams around the league are going to see it as the ticket to cap room, and the Rockets can take advantage in terms of bringing in a quality player who just doesn't fit. And yes, that scenario would have the Rockets subject to tax ramifications, as discussed earlier, but at least there you would be making your basketball team better. It's a lot better than cutting Ryan just to cut him and subjecting yourself to tax benefits, all while not even giving yourself a chance to build a better basketball team. Quite frankly, I'm not even sure if you gave Daryl Morey the option tomorrow, hypothetically, one time only, you can amnesty Ryan Anderson. I'm not even sure he would take it. Now, some of it depends on conversations behind closed doors with Till and Fertitta. We don't know exactly what Fertitta has mandated, although to the press, he's been open about knowing that it's going to be expensive to keep this team together and being willing to foot the bill. But unless he's ordered some sort of mandate, it's actually gives you more options keeping that Ryan Anderson contract. For example, without Ryan Anderson, it's really tough to make the math work to go after LeBron James this summer. If you take that salary off the books, the Rockets are not going to be able to go under the cap without largely deconstructing the core of a team that won 65 games. And even if it doesn't work this summer, then as I said, as early as July 2019, and certainly by the trade deadline, the 2019-2020 season, that Ryan Anderson contract as an expiring $20 million is going to open up a lot of possibilities. So unless Fertitta has said behind closed doors that you're going to have to ditch him, quite frankly, I'm not sure even if Daryl Morey could get it off the books that he would do it, let alone throw in one or two first-round draft picks to make it happen. Because as mentioned last week, the Rockets are an older team. The only guy entering your rotation next year as it stands today that's below 29 years old is Clint Capella, assuming he re-signs. So in a perfect world, no, you don't want to throw away your future first-round picks because those may be the foundation, the bridge to the next generation of the Rockets after Chris Paul and with James Harden in his, what, mid to late 30s. I know we're several years away from that, but it's something to keep in mind. So the bottom line with Ryan Anderson entering the offseason to me is this. Is he a negative contract? Yes, but you don't move him just to move him. You move him if there's a plausible way to improve your basketball team as a result of that move. Especially because, since we know he's a negative asset, you're going to have to give away future first-round picks in all likelihood to find a taker for him. You only should do that if you're getting a LeBron James or Paul George or some other scenario that we don't know yet, some other star that maybe comes on the market the same way that Jimmy Butler and Paul George did last summer, even though they were under contract. We'll have to wait and see what happens after the playoffs draw to a close leading up to the draft. It's possible that someone else could shake free. But if one of those happens, then yes, you move Ryan Anderson. But I don't think the Rockets are just going to be on the lookout to move Ryan for the sake of moving him unless there is a directive from Tillman Fertitta. Because otherwise, it's not going to really give you more options to improve your basketball team. So the bottom line, is he a negative asset? Yes. Does this mean that the Rockets should look to move him at all cost? No. They can and should be selective in doing so. And because of that, it would not shock me if Ryan Anderson is under contract on the team next season if they're not able to make a deal work for a guy like LeBron James or Paul George. So with that, I think we can wrap up this essentially non-LeBron, non-Paul George, other free agency possibilities podcast for the Rockets as we start looking ahead to free agency, which is, well, less than a month away. It opens at 11 p.m. on June 30th here in Houston. And as far as the big names are concerned, we could learn sooner than that, because by far the most reasonable route to get one of the big guns to Houston is to have an opt-in and trade, which would happen in late June, the same way it did last June 28th when Chris Paul forced his way to Houston. So even though it feels like the season just wrapped up, the offseason is going to heat up real, real fast, especially if the finals end very quickly, which it seems they're poised to in four or five games. In my opinion, the Warriors are simply a better team than the Cavs, and if it ends in four, that would be this Friday. So it's possible by the end of the week, we could already be in full offseason mode. Draft on the 21st. As mentioned, the Rockets do have a pick in the mid-40s of the second round. Don't have their first rounder because they sent that to the Clippers in the Chris Paul trade. But draft on the 21st, and then the final week of June is when speculation is really going to ratchet up with LeBron James and Paul George entering free agency. And of course, both those guys with player options, if they're going to exercise those to force a leverage deal to Houston or somewhere else, then that's the time that they would do that. So even though there's no basketball, there's still plenty to discuss, and I appreciate you sticking with me right here at Locked On Rockets for that conversation. If you want more content from me in the interim, best place to get it is always on Twitter. I'm there at Ben Dubose. Show is at Locked On Rockets. Also, don't forget our email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, our website, lockedonrockets.com, and our Facebook account at facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Always, you can get in contact with me, ask me questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan community. Also, don't forget iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, all places that you can subscribe to us, leave us 5-star reviews. That's how, of course, you can help us make the business model work and remain financially viable as the most regular podcast covering the Houston Rockets. But beyond that, that's how you can immediately get our episodes when they come out. I expect a lot of breaking news over the next month, so if you want to know right when the podcasts are ready, then that's the best way to get on our list, so to speak, as the Rockets get ready for what could be another big summer after luring Chris Paul just 12 months ago. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we'll be talking again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for regular discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.